And on our program this afternoon, we have John Minskelvin. Good afternoon, John.
Good afternoon, Douglas.
Well, it's a good day, isn't
it? Yes, it is. Every day is a good day when you wake up in the morning and you're breathing.
Yeah, then it's good.
Wally Robertson always said, "This is the day the Lord has made, rejoice and be gay." So I think that's pretty good advice.
All right.
Well, here we are. You know what?
Half hour
like
of
to talk to
stimulating you? Discussion.
As Gildersleeve used to say, I wouldn't say that, Peavy. Do you know what you want to talk about today?
No, I don't. But we've never been at a loss yet, all the years we've done this.
That's
so.
Right. Well, I don't either. You, a couple of weeks ago, asked me something about why there were all the restaurants down in the...
Yeah, they're all in the one place
block
there, weren't
of Washington they? Street, and I don't know, some one of the ex-restaurant people, I think, heard our program and gave me a little information here on the old Kiefer restaurant. You know, I told you that the Michigan restaurant was down there, and that's the place where I brought the pork chops one time.
Oh,
and it was so hot the paper melted. Well, I believe that was Mrs. Brown. I told you that was a saloon at one time and was owned by the Schlitz Brewing Company. And I also told you that you had to go up several steps to get into it. I think I'm right on that. But Kiefer got in there in 1924, and Georgie Sunrell told me that she had seen the first receipt for $75, which was signed by me.
Is that right?
So, but what we were talking about, it being a restaurant when I delivered pork chops down there and meat, was a long time before that. Of course, Kiefer got in there and remodeled the place and ran a very good restaurant for a good many years there. And they had, a lot of prominent people around town, particularly business people. She had mentioned Bill Connolly. Bill Connolly was one time a senator from Grand Haven. He came here to be manager of the Chamber of Commerce.
He was a senator?
Yeah. And then he got to be, he came here to be Chamber of Commerce. Then he got to be senator. Then he got to be chairman of the Ottawa County Road Commission. Bill monkeyed in real estate a little bit. And he was kind of a wheeler dealer, an awfully nice fellow, nice fellow. And he finally ended up in Holland as the secretary of the Chamber of Commerce down there. He was the only Irishman living in Holland, I believe. And then he moved out to San Mateo, California in his later years. And I remember there is a little magazine called Under Glass, which is put out by Lord and Burnham greenhouse people, and I have a little greenhouse in my backyard, as you know, and they had a contest one time to send in pictures of your greenhouse. Well, mine wasn't a Lord and Thomas greenhouse. I went over to Lord and Thomas to look at them, I remember, and they were just a little bit too rich for my blood, so the fellow there was a pretty nice fellow. He sent me to another greenhouse manufacturer who manufactured a different type of greenhouse. And I went over there and they fixed me up with a knockdown, of course it was. But anyway, this little Under Glass magazine had a contest to send in pictures of your greenhouse. So I sent in a picture of my greenhouse, and lo and behold, I won a prize.
You did?
And they published it in this little... They published the picture in this little magazine.
My land.
And I got a letter from Bill Connolly shortly after that. He had been gone from here for years. In fact, I didn't know whether he was still living or not. And he was the president of the San Mateo Garden Club. And he took this little magazine.
I see.
And he saw that picture in there, and then when he read my name in there, why, he wrote me a letter, and he said this, seeing my name brought back a lot of fond memories of Grand Haven, and I, of course, had known him for many years. I always liked him, and he was a very friendly sort of fellow. Well, that's a different story. But anyway, they had very many. Kiefer was a very more of a home cooked meal than most restaurants, and they had some pretty good people.
They didn't have pizza, did they, John?
They didn't have pizza. Wasn't this thing in those days? I guess I don't know where that came from. But anyway, this was quite interesting. That and then they, of course, lowered the floor and made. They lowered the floor and dropped the ceiling when Kiefer went in there. And then they later bought the building from the brewing company and then sold it to Earl Geyer and Ethel.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, it's torn down now.
Right.
So when you walk down the street, or sometimes when I do, and see or try and think what used to be there, it's pretty hard to even replace it. You know, it's hard in your mind, remember what was on Beacon Boulevard.
Oh, I suppose.
And that's only in, 23 years ago.
Yeah.
Of the houses that were on there and the different businesses have all been torn off. And there's been such a tremendous change our city in the past,
even
the past 15 years, well, even past five.
Right. You know, since I've been here, the post office is downtown here,
Yeah.
And the new bank, the new community center, the new county building, the new library.
Library was over on 3rd Street there. That's all parking lot for the bank and the new bank building there.
And like you say, it's hard to think back and remember how it used to be anymore.
Yeah, that's right. So when you think back of what was a few years ago and what is now, it's quite different. We've got a very progressive city, I think. Of course, I would say so, being in the real estate business, one of the finest cities that a person could ever expect to live in, where everybody's friendly and honest and square, and you have no crime or trouble to speak of. That isn't, at least compared to some of our neighboring cities. So that's quite a change.
I was going to say something ask you about the paving, but that I was thinking about that water in the street, but that wasn't down here, was it? That was over. That was over in Centertown, wasn't it? Where they had the water in the street.
Centertown. Well, you see, that was right at the bottom of the hill.
Oh, I suppose it really fell up there.
Water ran down there and settled down there.
Yeah.
That's where they had Mud Lake. Well, you see, that was back in 1908. That's a long time ago.
Yeah, it is.
That's a long time ago. So, but they improved it.
Yeah.
They got together and they pulled off a pretty good stunt and got that boat in the puddle and the pictures. And when that got in the paper, it didn't take long, boy. That was all.
Yeah. What about this Conley? Now you're talking about. Let's get back to the Chamber of Commerce. Now, how far back does the Chamber of Commerce date, John? Do you have any idea at all?
The Chamber of Commerce as a Chamber of Commerce.
Well, of course, it was
Before that. I think the Board of Trade was around the 1900s.
Oh, was it?
Yeah.
Now, what was that basically a Chamber of Commerce too?
Well, it was a good deal the same thing, only more. It was more or less after manufacturing. The Chamber of Commerce today serves the entire community. It does more tasks, more service than the Board of Trade did. The Chamber of Commerce promotes tourism. It promotes business. It promotes industry. It helps industry. I think the Chamber of Commerce does a lot for industry. Well, for instance, here, when Sam Garvin plant burned, both the Chamber of Commerce and the CED went in there and showed Sam Garvin what a wonderful town this was.
Mm-hmm.
And they had him under roof the next day. That was a cooperative project.
When the old Board of Trade then was out trying to entice more industry to come here, or what?
Yes, sure, you know.
Now, how did that operate? Didn't that have full-time people, too?
No, no, that was just certain businessmen. Well, I think if you look back at it, perhaps that was more, well, it was a general, I was going to say it's more like the CD, but I guess maybe it wasn't. I guess it was a general class of people,
mm-hmm.
class of businesses. My boss was always very, very much interested in both the Chamber of Commerce and the well, they had at one time, they sort of divided from the Chamber of Commerce, and they had a city appointed a Board of Commerce and Industry.
Oh, did they?
Which helped to bring business in here. I think Olberg's was a result of that.
Is that right?
Yes.
Well, what were some of the first industries that came here? Now, I mean, after the lumbering and stuff. Now, lumbering was, that used to be one of the big things around here.
Well, of course, Doug, you're getting back way back before I was around, and so I don't know. But we had, I ran across some pictures a while ago of the glass company. Did you ever know we had a glass company?
No. Did they make glass?
That was down in the Sam Garvin plant.
They melt sand there? What did they do?
I don't know what they did. Whether they just cut glass and carved it or beveled it or what, but they were called a glass company.
It's a glass company.
Then there was a match factory there. And then there was a millwork company there that made cases and partitions for factories and you've seen in the old days in a real nice house where you'd find the dining room paneled and a plate rail above it,
mm-hmm.
Mahogany or oak paneling, well, that kind of stuff.
I see.
And then they went by the roadside, and then came the Chicago File and Rasp Company, and they made files, and all kinds of files. I got a drawer in the office with quite a few of them in there yet. When they quit, Mr. Oakes was pretty well acquainted with the man that ran it, Mr. Jones, and Bill Wiles operated that factory for a while. Bill was later our city and county clerk.
Oh.
County clerk and then, no, I guess he was county clerk first and then city clerk first and then county clerk.
I see.
And when they closed up, a lot of files and I don't know, I guess Bill gave me a couple of hands full of them, different kinds of files, and I still have some of them down in the office.
Wonder why they closed up.
I don't know. Well, we just didn't pay.
Maybe they weren't very good files, were they?
Yes, they were.
Were they?
They were all right. They were good files, you know.
Huh.
Yeah, I remember of going to Chicago to see Mr. Jones, the first time I'd ever been to Chicago. The boss said to me one day, how'd you like to go to Chicago? I said, I'd like to go. I was about, 1924. It was a 1924 Studebaker that we drove. And he said, we got to leave at 3 o'clock in the morning. I said, all right. So we left at 3 o'clock because we had to be there at 5.
Wow.
At 8, it was a 5-hour drive.
3 o'clock in the morning?
Yeah. Well, your car didn't go, you didn't drive, well, of course, now you can't drive over 55, but when you got a car up to 45 or 50, you were really traveling.
Were you?
And I remember we got to Benton Harbor and had breakfast there. I don't know how long it took to get to Benton Harbor, but I remember the boss remarking about it that we got there quick.
Was that a good, you went in the Studebaker, huh?
And the Studebaker. Studebaker Big Six, yeah.
Was that a good car?
Yes, it was.
Was it?
You bet your life it was a good car. It was one of these high cars.
Yeah.
You know, you could wear a plug hat. And but talking about that, I remember Bill Wiles was sitting in the back seat of it, and I hit a culvert one somewhere, and Bill, he hit the top. And the top was velvet. And it had bows in it. It was a fabric top in those
mm-hmm.
cars. They weren't metal like they are
oh,
today.
Oh, did he go right through?
No, he didn't go through, but he cut a little gash in his head.
Oh, did he?
Remember, Bill says, I got it. It drew blood.
It did,
no,
huh?
Didn't, wasn't
well, were you driving kind of rough?
No, I was just driving, well, what you'd say today, I was driving slow, but in those days, I guess we thought it was fast.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, if you want to understand, the cars were entirely different. You didn't have the kind of shock absorbers on them or anything else that you do now. So it was an entirely different deal.
Boy, but the boss didn't let you drive anymore after that, did he?
Oh, yes, he did. Why, sure. Heck, we laughed about it. Sure he did. Then we went in Chicago, and we took Ripley along. Ripley was the manager of the telephone company here. And then he was a good friend of Jim, and he said, Rip, you want to go to Chicago tomorrow? And Rip says, sure, he get off. So Rip and I were in the front seat, and they'd been to Chicago. I didn't move Judas. I was 24 years old, but I was a greenhorn. I can tell you that. I'd come to Chicago, and I didn't know anything about it. We drove down one street, and Rip says, turn here, turn here. I said, well, that says one way. He says, well, we're only going one way. So we drove down there, and the cop stopped us. Where are you heading for? Where are you going? We said, we don't know. And he said, well, where do you want to go? And we told him what we wanted. He said, well, you're in the wrong street. This cop was real nice.
Was he?
Mm-hmm.
He didn't have to pay him or anything?
Oh, no. He was real nice. He said, you're in the wrong way here. He said, wait a minute. He stopped traffic, and he got us turned around. He says, now get out of here.
Is that?
Yeah.
Well, was there a lot of traffic in Chicago in those days, too,
yes,
John, by comparison?
Yes, there was, but there were a lot of horses and wagons.
Oh, on the highways?
Oh, no, in Chicago.
Is that right?
Yeah, we were right downtown there.
You mean they had horses and buggies right downtown?
Horses and wagons hauling freight to the stores. They
right in the loop?
They didn't have any trucks like they do today.
Is that right?
Not many. They had a few, but not
yeah.
many. Mostly horses and wagons. Few trucks.
Now, how did you get to downtown Chicago? Did you take that Lakeshore Road?
Don't ask me. I don't know. I wouldn't know where we got. All I could remember was that we were on California Avenue, and I couldn't find California Avenue in Chicago if I had to. I wouldn't know where it was. But that's about all I remember. And then we found Mr. Jones, and Jim and Bill Wiles went in and contacted their business at his house.
Mm-hmm.
No office. And he said, we'll go downtown for lunch. And so he took us down on Michigan Avenue to Henry She's Restaurant. And that was some restaurant.
Was it?
They still run good restaurants, but that was an ornate place. And Mr. Jones says, well, he said, you got to have some candy to take home to your wives. They must have made candy at Henry She's Restaurant. And I don't know how many boxes of candy we had, but he had it all tied together in rope. And Rip and I carried that candy down the street until we got back to the car in a bundle, maybe a foot and a half deep, and they were big boxes of candy. That was quite an experience, yeah.
Did you stay there overnight
then? No, we were back home at 10 o'clock that night.
Is
that
right?
That was a long
day.
Oh,
I'll bet it
was. Day. You bet your life. 3 o'clock in the morning till 10 at night.
Boy, it's a lot of driving in one day, isn't it, John?
Yeah. Well, Chicago, that's 500 miles, wasn't it? It was about 250 then, about 180 the way they got it down, that is, to the city. But we had to go way over on the north side. And so we drove a little further. I imagine we had about pretty near 500.
Now, would you experience any car problems at all on a trip like that?
That was a good automobile.
Is that right?
Mm-hmm. That was, that was a honey of a car.
Was it? Was that one of the more expensive cars of its day?
That was a Studebaker Special 6. Not the big six. They made one bigger than that.
Oh, did they?
But this was a big car. Yeah. We drove that car to Niagara Falls after that year.
You did?
Yeah. I'd been working for Jim about 2 years. I went to work for him in 1922. And Fess Keefe, who was in the clothing store next to our office, which is in where our office is now, sewing machine office is, was in there. And Bob Radke and Lewis, my brother Lewis, and I decided we were going to go to Niagara Falls. And Fess says, take me along. He was a much older man than we were. And we thought, well, that was good. We were greenhorns traveling. He said, sure, well, we'd take you along. So we started out in the... We were going to drive a used car from the garage, Jim was running the Studebaker garage at that time. We were going camp, and this car broke down before we got to Grand Rapids.
Is that right?
And it took us all day to get to Grand Rapids and back. We had to be towed in the last
halfway.
But anyway, I came to work the next morning, and the boss said, "What's the matter? I thought you would be in Toledo by now." And I told him, I didn't know you could get that much trouble in one day. And then he said, "You better go anyway." And I said, "No." I said, "Fess going back to work. Bob's gone back to Keller's to work. And Lewis back to the bank." And he says, "You call them up, see if they can go." We called them all up, and they said, "Sure, we can go." So at noon, he says, "You take my new car." It was brand new.
Oh.
He says, "You take the new car, but don't camp." He says, "You can afford to stay in a hotel, can't you?" Well, we didn't have any money anyway, so it didn't make any difference. And we said, "Yeah, sure, we could stay in the hotel." So we got to Toledo that night. We left at noon and got in Toledo that night. Mm-hmm. We got lost on the way, and lost but good.
Did you?
Yeah.
In one of the cities?
No, out in the country.
No.
There weren't roads like there are today by any means.
Well, wasn't there a highway or a thoroughfare?
There was a highway, but we got off from it some way for a detour or something. I remember we stopped a coal truck and asked him how to get to Willoughby, Ohio, I guess it was, where we were lost. And he said, "Well, you take the north road and then you go south." We said, "We don't know which is north and south. Which way do we go?" And he was a colored gentleman, I remember. He said, "I'll tell you." And he said, and he got us straightened around. We got in there, we got into a railroad depot, and we were hungry. It was 3 o'clock in the afternoon. We hadn't had anything to eat yet. And they didn't have anything to eat in that restaurant either, but they had peanuts, so...
Peanuts?
Yeah. And one of those penny slot meals.
Oh, yeah, sure.
So we ate peanuts. Well, we got into Buffalo that night, and we stayed in the Statler Hotel. All four of us in one room. Fess went up to the clerk and told him we were busted. We paid all our money for gasoline. He said, "Can't you get us four of us in one room?" Clerk says, "Yeah." He said, "I'll put a couple of cots in the room for you." So he put a couple of cots in the room. We were in the Statler Hotel. That was high living for kids.
I bet it was, yeah.
I'll tell you.
Yeah, was it a nice hotel?
Bet your life it
was. Was it?
Bet you. So it started to rain, and it rained that day. It rained the next day, too, and so we stayed in the hotel. I remember we fussed around there until... 10 o'clock or something like that, and then we went on, and then we got to Niagara Falls.
Oh, yeah.
Day. That was a great trip.
Well, hey, you know, that's a pretty nice boss to let you take a car
was.
Like that, too.
Yeah.
You didn't break it, did you?
Nope. Had no trouble. He gave me I said, "I don't know, drive that new car." He said, "Just as safe if you're driving it there as you're driving it here." He said, "You drive it anyway." And, he says, "You might just as well take it." And I had a little old Overland that I bought from that had gone through a fire. And he said, "I'll drive the Overland." So he took the Overland and drive it.
Well, that Overland gave you a lot of trouble, didn't it?
Not that one.
Oh, wasn't that the one?
No. That Overland was a good one. that was a lot better than the new one. That was a lot better one than, and was better looking than the new
was
one,
it?
Too. That was a good little car. Yeah.
Go ahead.
He drove it. We were gone a week.
Wow.
And we came home with this new car, and we cleaned it all up and washed it. It was all dust and mud and everything.
Yeah.
Cleaned it up before we brought it back to him. I don't know how many miles we put on. 2,000 or 3,000, I suppose. Maybe more than that.
Good night.
But
that was a drive.
We had a lot of fun.
Did you?
Yeah. That was quite a
trip. Did they camp? What are you talking about, camping? Didn't people camp along the road then, or what did they do?
They camped along the road, parks and so on and so forth.
Just pitch a tent?
Pitch a tent. We had a tent tied on this first car. As I say, we never got further than Grand Rapids with it, but we had all the stuff to go with.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. My dad had given me a great big summer sausage, and we had trouble with the car, and we had to go into Grand Rapids and get a part, and Lewis and Fess ate the summer sausage while we were going. So we lived on ice cream the rest of that day, too. Oh, kids, you know.
Oh, sure.
An entirely different deal today. You would wonder what the heck was going on. But.
Now, were there places to camp, or would you just park along the highway and pitch a tent?
Well, we didn't do it, so we didn't find out.
I see.
But we went through Lorain, Ohio, just after the tornado had gone through there.
Oh.
And there we really saw wrecks.
Is that right?
We saw, you see these pictures in the paper of tornadoes nowadays?
Mm-hmm.
Well, they're absolutely no exaggeration. That one in Lorain, Ohio was just a mess.
Is that right,
yeah.
Huh?
I saw a Model T Ford coupe, or roadster, that had a spare tire on the back. The wind lifted that car up and dropped it down so that the spare tire, the rim of the spare tire, encircled that telephone pole.
Is that right?
All the way down. You couldn't do that with a crane.
No.
But the Lord did it with a tornado.
Yeah.
Oh, that was a mess. Yeah, I was always glad I saw it because I saw it firsthand. We saw the one at Hudsonville, that 1940, mm-hmm. some 41 or 2, something like that. That was peanuts compared to the one in mm-hmm. Lorain, Ohio. And they had never had a strong wind there before. We
Is
talked
that
to
right?
people, and they said they never had a tornado there.
I don't know if they've ever had anything specifically like that right in Grand Haven or right in the area. Have they, John? We've had some strong winds.
No, we didn't.
That lake seems to protect it a little bit.
Yeah.
They seem to drop in a little bit inland. But
I guess the wind wears out before it gets here. Going
Al Roos used to do a program with me for the CED where we talk about the old-time industry and stuff, and he mentioned some kind of a typhoon or something that hit one time. And I don't know. And I don't remember what that was about, but it took down a factory or something.
Well, that was, I would call that a tornado. That took down the the Robbins Building, which was the Meridian Building down at the...
Oh, is that right?
Yeah.
When was that?
Well, I couldn't tell you. That was probably in 1940, in the 40s or early 50s, Yeah, and that took a good share of the roof off the Highland Park Hotel, too.
Oh, did it?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. That was a...
Was it a bad storm,
That was a bad storm.
Now, did people see the funnel or anything? Was there anybody who saw anything?
It happened during the night, 3, 4 o'clock in the morning, and there were tree limbs all over town, and that factory was... That factory and the Highland Park Hotel were the hardest hit.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Quite a ways apart, too.
Yeah. You wonder if it skipped then or something.
I don't know. Was aiming at both those buildings or what, but it sure took
They didn't have any type of a warning system, at that time, did they, John?
Well, that just came on. We had a heavy rain, a storm. Remember Mel Wright called me out of bed around 6 o'clock in the morning, and he said it was still raining. He said, we're in trouble, and he told me about it. And he said, I've been trying to get a hold of Mike Paul to come out here and put some temporary roofing on the building. And he said, I can't get them. Well, of course he couldn't get them. The telephone wires were all down.
Oh, were they?
So I said, I'll go out and get them. So I went out to Mike's place out in the country a little ways and got him out of bed and got him down there, and they started closing the thing in. He had guests in the hotel. This was in the summertime. And we got that closed in. Tore off the northwest corner of it.
Is that right?
And part of the building.
Nobody got hurt, though,
Nobody
did they?
Nobody was hurt, no. No, got a little water through there.
Yeah,
that was the second time. Well, the other time the hotel wasn't damaged, but the sheds in the back were
mm-hmm.
were damaged. Yeah,
well, John, we're just about out of time.
Is time gone already?
Yeah.
Well, we've been talking about nothing much.
Well, it was kind of fun.
Wishing, reminiscing.
Wishing, yeah. We should talk about some of those old storms again sometime, too, because they had some, you didn't have the tornado kind of things, but you had some wicked storms here, though, over the years.
Yeah.
Some in the winter, some in the fall.
Thunder and lightning. And all kinds of weather.
But now it's time for us to go. Thanks for coming
on,
John.
It's been a pleasure talking with
you. All right, next month we'll look for you again.
Okay, the Lord willing, we'll be here.
All right, goodbye now.
So long.